Well, that video we just watched has one of the questions I really dread at this time of year. Are you ready for Christmas? I dread it because we try and cram so much into this time of year, and our expectations for Christmas are often pretty high. There's all the Christmas parties throughout December for work, for school, for the soccer club, for some knitting club that you didn't even know you were part of, but you're invited along anyway. You've got to get the tree up, the tinsel hung, and you're not even trying to be Insta-worthy, but just getting stuff out there and done takes time. And there's Christmas lights, those people who do up their houses. It's amazing. I look at them and I love them, but I'm just exhausted looking at them. In fact, I'm even exhausted thinking about trying to find space in the calendar to get the family out there to look at them. There's buying gifts. And even if you start early, you wonder, have I actually done enough? Have I got everyone covered? Or is there a nephew or auntie who's going to be angry at me on Christmas Day? And the shops, they prey on that anxiety, don't they? Those emails you keep getting saying, order now, it's your last chance to get delivery before Christmas. One of my favourite shops this week then sent another one, said, order now, we were lying last time. Now, if you pay extra for express post, you'll still get it for Christmas in case you haven't bought it in time. Maybe you haven't even left it enough time for express post and you're leaving it to the very last minute, and tomorrow after work you'll end up going down the coast because tomorrow night's the night, the one that you had the opportunity to shop until midnight. And then there's the new traditions that people have invented. The elf on the shelf. Is it actually really Christmas if you haven't bought the whole family matching outfits? And then you finally get to Christmas Day. You haven't even got to Christmas Day yet, and it's then time to squeeze everyone and the gifts and the food into the car, or maybe even worse, you've got to prepare your house for the hordes to arrive. Are you ready for Christmas? Or maybe Christmas isn't a busy time for you, and because of that you feel sad or guilty. Guilty because you're not doing Christmas right. Sad because you'd love to do Christmas right, but due to family or finances or health, you can't do Christmas the way you'd like to. This Christmas as a church, we're going to be looking to Mary. We're going to look to Mary to see a different vision for Christmas. On Christmas Day, we're going to spend time with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Today it's also Mary, but it's another Mary, not the mother of Jesus, another Mary. And we're going to see what her response to Jesus teaches us for Christmas. This event is from Luke's biography of Jesus. Luke was an ancient historian who recorded the life of Jesus. This event occurs when Jesus is an adult. He's in his early 30s. For a couple of years, he's been going around Judea, modern day Palestine, Israel. He's been going around teaching people about God's kingdom. He's been doing amazing things, healing the sick, casting out unclean spirits, miraculously feeding large crowds from a kid's lunchbox. And what we're hearing today is from the final stages of Jesus' life. He's heading to Jerusalem. He's on the road to the ancient capital city of Israel, where he knows he'll be killed. And on the way, he calls into Martha's house. In Luke's biography of Jesus, this is the only time Mary and Martha, these two sisters, are mentioned. Though Martha, Mary and Lazarus, and their brother Lazarus, are mentioned in another biography of Jesus in John's Gospel. Almost definitely, it's the same people. We learn from John's biography, Martha, Mary and Lazarus are dear friends of Jesus. And there are hints of the same thing here. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He comes into Martha and Mary's hometown, and so he calls in. So have a look with me. This is sentence number 33, printed on the inside of the bulletin. 38, Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So Jesus comes to the door. I'm sure they're excited to see Jesus, their friend, and Jesus' followers, his disciples too. We aren't told how many of the disciples are with Jesus. It may be the 12. It could even be a larger group. And Martha is a great ancient Middle Eastern hostess. She opens her home for these traveling friends. Jesus has been teaching whilst he's on the road. Immediately before this event in Luke's biography, Jesus teaches using the well-known story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you've ever heard someone called a Good Samaritan, this is where it's from. It's from Luke's biography of Jesus, a story Jesus told. Jesus has been on the road, walking, talking, teaching. He comes inside and he doesn't stop. He keeps teaching. And Mary, Martha's sister, she joins the disciples, sits down in front of him to listen. Sentence 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Even as he comes into this friend's home, Jesus doesn't stop. He keeps teaching. At this point in his life, he knows his days are numbered. His time is short. He's heading to Jerusalem. His days are numbered. He knows when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to die. He has so much he has to teach, so he doesn't stop. Mary stops and listens. But Martha doesn't stop. She's just had this big group show up at her house. And there's an expectation of hospitality. Beds to be made, food to be put on the table. And there's been no warning. Jesus couldn't have sent a text to say that he's on his way. This group has just shown up. And for Martha, it's not just a good friend who's showing up. We know from John's biography of Jesus, as John tells us about Martha and Mary, Jesus isn't only their good friend. They've come to believe that he is the Messiah, that he's God's promised King and Savior, the one who gives life forever. So there's the normal cultural expectation of hospitality for a traveler. But this isn't just any visitor. It's God's long-promised King. And so you can imagine Martha huffing and puffing, running to and fro to provide amazing hospitality to Jesus. And Mary just sits there. She doesn't lift a finger. She doesn't even look to see what her sister's doing. You can imagine, you know, you've been there, haven't you, where you stare intently in front of you. I can't even see what's going on out there. She just sits listening to Jesus. And Martha is fed up. She knows what to do. She goes straight to the top of the food chain, to Jesus. He will sort this lazy sister out. Sentence 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Isn't this what we so often do in relationships? Instead of going to Mary, instead of talking directly with the person making us frustrated or anxious, instead of talking directly, we triangulate. We recruit allies, someone we can get on our side. We want to use them to shame or pressure the person into doing what we want. But it never helps. You can feel how frustrated Martha is, because when she goes to recruit her ally, she's so frustrated, she actually doesn't, you know, try and woo him over. She goes on to the attack. Jesus, if you cared about me, you would have already told my sister to get her lazy bones to work. Now, what do you expect Jesus to say? In this setting, Jesus is a man with a privileged position. He's been on the road, an exhausting journey. He's with a group of tired traveling friends. Many of us would take advantage of that situation. Here is an opportunity to be waited on hand and foot. And even more, Martha's really leaning on Jesus. She's being demanding, even accusing him. And on the other hand, Mary seems like she's a pretty easygoing type. In this situation, it's less work to side with Martha. That would make the complaints go away. And if Jesus was to ask Mary, she'd probably do it, and then the problem would just go away. But that's not what Jesus does. And even though Martha is exasperating and demanding, Jesus speaks kindly and gently to her. He gently corrects Martha. She's allowed herself to get preoccupied about all kinds of things by expectations, either society's expectations of a good host or even what she thinks would honour this dear friend. But in her busyness, she's missed the one thing, the main thing. Sentence 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus gently rebukes Martha, her priorities, her goals. And you can tell Jesus is gentle and kind. Martha, Martha, it's the voice of a friend. And Jesus acknowledges he sees her heart. She's worried and upset about many things. Jesus names this. He knows what's going on for her and gently redirects her priorities. At this point, there's only one thing. Jesus is here. It's time to listen to him. When Jesus shows up, it's time to listen to him. This reminds me of an event that occurs just a little earlier in Luke's biography. Jesus' astounding glory is revealed, and God speaks to just a select few of Jesus' disciples. This is what God the Father says, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Mary wasn't there that day. She hadn't heard that voice, but she gets the message, listen to Jesus. She sits and listens to Jesus. Yes, Jesus is great and glorious, but he's not like any other king. Any other powerful person would show up and demand a banquet in his honor. But Jesus shows up, and the one thing he wants is your attention. Listen to him. But the reality is, for many of us at Christmas, that's the last thing we've got time for. We are worried and upset about many things. There's food to be purchased and prepared, homes to decorate, cards to write, gifts to wrap. We are worried and upset about many things. How can we learn to listen like Mary this Christmas? We need to learn to say no and to say less. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? Many of us feel this pressure of expectation. We think we need to make Christmas look like the Hallmark movies, or we're trying to rediscover the spark that made Christmas special when we were young. And often these things are out of love. We want the children or nieces and nephews in our life to have the same experience, the same wow, the same joy. But these expectations and goals wear us down. But today you haven't come to get advice from some Christmas influencer. There's going to be articles in the paper. There's going to be videos online, how to have a minimalist, no-fuss Christmas. And they'll tell you to say no to all those unhelpful expectations at Christmas. I don't want to sound like them, because as helpful as some of those ideas will be, just saying no or less won't lead to lasting change. It might work this Christmas. You'll decide you don't need the ham and stuffed turkey. You don't need to string 10,000 Christmas lights on your car. But unless you replace the no with a yes, it won't last. In a few years, the weight of expectation will worm their way into your heart and into your soul, and you'll be worse than when you started. But Jesus' invitation is not really about saying no to the business. It's saying yes to listen to him. Christmas is about Jesus showing up, and when Jesus shows up, it's time to listen. We need to say yes to Jesus. Jesus, who in another context invites those who are weary and overburdened to come to him. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus invites you to put down your heavy burden, the weight of expectation, not just by sheer willpower, learning to say no, but by saying yes to him, listening to Jesus, receiving his gracious, easy yoke and light burden. Just as the carol says, the weary world rejoices. He rejoices because Jesus came to show grace, to give forgiveness. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Out of the overflow of God's love, Jesus comes to give himself. And he doesn't say, look, you've got to get everything right before we can be friends. No, Jesus comes into the middle of our mess and invites us to find rest for our souls. And we do this by listening to him. I want to give you two practical ways to say yes to Jesus, to learn to listen like Mary. One is get yourself a Bible. That's the way to listen to Jesus. If you don't have a Bible, take one of the black Bibles from the welcome table. We've got heaps of them to give away, and read Luke's biography of Jesus. Even just the first events of his birth, they're only the first three pages. Read them over Christmas, or if you don't have time over Christmas, wait till Boxing Day. It's okay. You can still read about the birth of Jesus on Boxing Day. Or this might be better. Maybe a big fat, well, it's not even that fat, but a black Bible might feel a bit overwhelming. On the welcome table, we've also got a few copies of Luke's biography of Jesus. The whole Bible, a bit fat, can feel a bit intimidating. But Luke's biography of Jesus is only a thin paperback. It only takes a couple of hours to read. Or once again, just read the first few pages and listen to Jesus. That's idea number one. Second idea, join us on Christmas morning. Christmas Day can be hustle and bustle, chock full of things that make us worried and upset. So start your day listening to Jesus. We're going to be here 8:30 a.m. It'll be a shortish service, deliberately short and early, so you can continue celebrating with whatever the plans are that you have. Deliberately early to make listening to Jesus the priority this Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas? When you hear that question, don't let it take you to the gifts or recipes. The question really is, are you ready to listen to Jesus this Christmas? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus, that with his coming, the weary world rejoices. I thank you that Jesus doesn't ask us to be worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, to listen to him. This Christmas, help us say no to many things, so we can say yes to listening to Jesus. Give us ears to hear Jesus, to hear his offer of grace, love, and forgiveness, that like Martha and Mary, we can be forever friends with you through your Son, Jesus. Amen.